Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Rewired podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, March 24th. It is officially wedding week for us. So we are really excited. We've also had a lot just going on these last couple of weeks and honestly within this last month leading up to the big day. But we're really excited about today's episode as we're going to give you guys a little bit of a life update on some things going on with us recently, as well as diving into some of your questions with our March Q&A. But as always, before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find on the market are actually heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. And we know that if we consume too much of this processed food too often, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. So this is why we personally love the Nash Bars. We never even have to think twice about the ingredients, and they truly are the good-for-you protein bar. So make sure you guys head to the show notes after today's episode. The next release will be coming up this Thursday at 6 p.m. Make sure to head to the show notes after the episode to get yourself a box of bars to try.
And on the note of Nash Bars, I wanted to point out that every client I've recommended to get Nash Bars, they're like, as soon as I share it with someone, I regret giving away one of these bars because they're that good. And on that note, like literally in our bride and groom suites, like the day of as we're getting ready, like, we are bringing Nash Bars for our people, like for hair and makeup, for my bridesmaids, and everyone's so excited. And that just made me think about like giving away like that amount of Nash Bars says a lot about how much we love our people because they are, we are obsessed with them. So highly, highly, highly recommend. And now today's episode, we're getting into life update first and foremost, where we've been the past few weeks. And obviously, we give you guys an episode every single week, whether it's on a Sunday. Like for us, that makes more sense because our weeks are super jam-packed. But we've been fitting in wedding things on the weekends and having a lot of like bachelor, bachelorette parties, not just our own, but we also have friends getting married shortly after us in the coming months. So Zach was on a bachelor party last weekend. The weekend before that, I actually had to go home. I'm from Akron, which is like 2 hours from Columbus. It's not very far, but it makes sense for me to go home on the weekends for like, my dress was up there. My sister does my hair for the wedding. So I had to go up for my final hair appointment. We did hair and makeup trial. We got my dress. So like lots of wedding things. And then with Zach traveling and then the weeks being jam-packed, we obviously had a little bit of time off. So we wanted to also prepare you guys for a little bit of time off in the coming weeks. And we appreciate you guys giving us grace and still, you know, getting so hyped up. Like one of our most recent episodes was blowing up the past few weeks since we took some time off. So we appreciate you guys going back and listening to old episodes while we take that time off. And I highly recommend you do the same over the next 2 weeks. Next week is obviously wedding weekend. We're getting married March 30th. And it is Easter weekend too. So like right after the wedding, we have lots of family in town. And then we're going on our honeymoon Monday of next week. And we're actually going to San Diego in California. We wanted to take a Europe trip. And we actually found like this really cool like Greece-inspired Airbnb, which will be really cool. And we'll obviously share that while we're there. And any recommendations, you know, once we get back in future Q&As and stuff for honeymoons. I know I've got a lot of questions about that for people who want to go to California, but we're just keeping it pretty short. But that following weekend, we'll be coming off of honeymoon weekend, wedding week. So next 2 weeks will most likely be a no episode weeks, but we want to give you guys so much value in this week's episode. And obviously this is episode 125. So we have 124 other episodes for you guys to catch up on in the meantime, if you've missed some. So on the note of life updates, kind of where we're at, we wanted to give you guys an update. We got a lot of questions about planning, wedding things, like how we've managed like our schedule, time, and the tasks for the wedding itself, alongside like some cutting questions too. So since this is like fitness-related podcast, we'll give you guys a cutting update first. Zach, do you want to give an update on kind of what you're doing physique-wise leading up to the wedding?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've been really over these last couple of months slowly tapering into that cutting phase. You know, I know Christina has been really strategic about her kind of progression. And I know for me, you know, this was a period where I was really motivated to try to essentially like push my maintenance calories before this cut as high as I could, because, you know, as I'm sure some of you listening to this, you know, we all are fans of, you know, being lean and, you know, cutting calories. But a lot of times, like, we lose sight of the positive impact that, you know, it can have when we are, you know, around those maintenance calories, or we are fueling our body with more energy, with more nutrients, with more protein, with more, you know, carbs and fats. And so I found a lot of value in that as of recent, you know, really pushing that maintenance calorie threshold. And I think that, you know, this is just a good time to talk about this because I'm always reminding my clients of this, but, you know, those maintenance calories aren't necessarily a static number. You know, a lot of times we think of like, okay, like these are my maintenance calories and like that's just what they are. But what we don't realize is like, there's these contributing factors that can increase or decrease those maintenance calories. So that's what makes kind of this whole process so challenging? Why so many struggle, you know, when they are trying to like cut or even like find the cutting calories, find the maintenance calories, find the surplus calories? Like, it's hard because, you know, as our activity changes, you know, week by week or day by day, it can impact our energy balance or our maintenance calories. And so how we move outside of our workouts can impact, you know, how many calories we're expending for the day. So there's all these other variables that kind of play into those maintenance calories that can make, you know, the energy balance difficult. This is why Chris and I will, you know, really control for as many variables as we can with our clients so that we can get the most accurate representation of where they are truly at in reference to those maintenance calories as it correlates to what they're consuming, essentially. So, you know, we take a lot of that same approach ourselves when we are manipulating our caloric intake or our food intake. And I think, you know, for me, it's been so cool to see, because this is something that Chris and I teach our clients a lot, but I slowly was just increasing my calories more and more, even above where I've been in the past for maintenance. And it's been really cool to see the impact that that's made on energy levels, on my performance inside the gym, on body composition change. You know, I got really my maintenance calories as high as 3,500. While still, you know, maintaining my body weight, meaning like I was doing such a good job of like, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I was just very methodical about this of like, you know, making sure that, you know, my steps and my exercise activity was like through the roof, like ensuring that my activity levels were super high as I was cushioning these increases to my caloric intake. So yeah, I got all the way up to, you know, 3,500 calories, you know, basically doing kind of a reverse diet myself from being in a cut previously. I'd gotten up to maintenance and then really started to push that envelope. And now what's nice is, you know, I'm pulling those calories down back into that 3000 range, and now I'm cutting again. So it's really cool to see how that manipulation of calories can really make, you know, an impact on weight loss, on fat loss over time, and really just overall body composition change at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I have a quick question for you too, just because one of our questions was how to balance like weekend. So since you're obviously so close to the wedding and you had a bachelor party last weekend, I know it wasn't perfect in terms of like movement and nutrition, but like, how did you either cushion like before the trip or after the trip to like stay the course?
Yeah, this is a really, really good question because, you know, I know a lot of you guys that listen relate to this, but I'm not going to lie, like weekends are really hard for me, just like they are for you guys. Like weekends are really tough to control caloric intake. Like anytime you're doing anything social, you know, it's just very easy to accumulate a lot of calories without even realizing it. So we talked about this a little bit on a past podcast where, you know, I'm a fan of utilizing the strategy of, hey, you know, if I have a weekend where, you know, my consumption is very high, or even like a day where my consumption is pretty high and my activity levels maybe, you know, weren't where I wanted them to be, or maybe I didn't have control, you know, over getting them higher over that period of time where my consumption was higher, I really just try to be methodical about how I bounce back the next day. So I'll just be smart about like, hey, maybe I should taper my caloric intake down just a little bit relative to my calorie goal, because I know I had a day previously that was a little bit higher. And that's essentially kind of what I did to get myself back, you know, in that rhythm that I left off of with the bachelor party I had recently. I just tapered down my intake, brought my energy expenditure levels back up. I started like getting my steps in again. And that's really where like a fitness tracker is very helpful. We don't necessarily have to rely on it and all the information it gives us, but it can guide us. And that's really how like Chris and I will use them, especially from like a calorie expenditure standpoint. Like we know that it's not going to be 100% accurate, but we can at least see the trends, especially when activity is high, when activity is low, you know, relative to our intake levels and what we're consuming on the front end. So we're kind of using these different data points to guide our decision making, you know, with the quantities that we're consuming, and with really just what we're eating, how we're eating on a day by day, on a weekly basis. So, you know, that's really kind of how I cushioned it. You know, I had some drinks, you know, I had some alcohol, had some pizza, had some wings, like had some food that I don't normally eat. I was really more mindful than I have in years past with the quantity. So with how much of it I'm consuming. And that's really what's cool, guys, is it, a lot of our clients start to see this over time, but I think it's just so hard to battle this all or nothing mindset because we think like we have to be like 100% strict and perfect. We can't eat any of the foods like I just mentioned to have complete and utter success, but it really just does come down to controlling the quantity and the frequency. So like how much of that food are we having? How often are we having it? Because, you know, as I was obviously, you know, around other guys, maybe who don't have that same, you know, maybe approach or mentality toward their nutrition, you know, they're kind of just not really thinking about the same things. Or maybe they go, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like every day of the weekend, you know, is kind of off the rails versus like, you know, for me, it was like, hey, I know I'm going to have this maybe one day. And that's really kind of how it got broken down where, even on the front end of the and the back end of the trip, I really was smart about like the foods that I was eating, kind of keeping in track on the front end and then getting back on track on the back end. And then in between, I had that little bit of deviation, but it's not like it completely derailed me, because it was just a small circumstance in that bigger picture of the weekend. And I controlled the volume, the frequency, and got back on track right away. So that's the difference, guys. And like, I wish more people could understand that, because it's not about like either black and white doing it or not doing it. It's just about being very mindful and like having guardrails up. We talk about guardrails a lot, but like, I think it's just so important to ensure that you have these like guardrails or these disciplines in place that help you stay on track and help you stay disciplined in those moments. Because if we operate just in like limbo, where it's like, you know, I'll just do whatever in these circumstances, well, of course, you know, you're going to be unhappy with the way that you look, move, and feel after the fact. So that's why it's so important to constantly have that kind of inner gauge of, okay, you know, what have my habits looked like? What did they look like over these last couple of days, over this last week? That can then kind of guide, you know, how intentional or maybe how flexible you should be in that moment.
Yeah. And I think that a conversation I've had a lot with, whether it's one-on-one clients, group coaching clients, is that your weekends, you don't want them to look like completely different than your weekdays. I think that's where it feels like you're kind of on and then you're off, and then you're like,
and that's why there's so much resistance. Like when you're trying to get back into those protocols, like if every weekend you're using it as kind of like that, you know, just excuse to just go completely off the rails, like, and I'm raising my hand as like, that is literally what I used to do, or, you know, cheat day or cheat weekend. And it would be like every meal's shit, like off the rails completely. Like you're drinking like copious amounts, like with no thought of the volume, no thought of the calories. And it's like, that's a hard place to be if you have certain results you're trying to achieve ultimately.
Exactly. And I think that when you replicate like your weekdays and weekends, you always have to have like that this is a lifestyle in the back of your mind. Like if you want to change the output, like you want to change how, like Zach said, you look, move, and feel, you have to change the inputs. Like you can't act like old you every weekend and expect Monday morning you're going to feel like new you or future you that you're trying to, you know, create. So I do think that just having in the back of your mind, like, how can I, like Zach said, like this bachelor party was 1% better than his last trip because he was more mindful. Like when you make decisions, just think about like, okay, I can have flexibility, but like what would old me do? Have like 5 pieces of pizza? Maybe this time I have 3 or 2. Like that's 1% better. And if you do that every single trip, you're going to create more of a lifestyle. And these decision-making like skills and like what choice you pick is going to become your new identity. Like I'm someone who's health conscious, but still has balance and flexibility. And just to go into as well, like since this obviously is like cutting and wedding planning kind of like combination in terms of a question, but I was talking to a group coaching girl this past week, and she was talking about she was going to Arizona, which was where Zach went this past month for his bachelor party. And I was just explaining like the protocols I would implement and that I implemented during bachelorette party I went on recently. So I'm like in the thick of a cut for our wedding day, like, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. We have an end date, you know, that we want to reach our goal by, but I still wanted to have fun and have balance. So I recommend, like Zach said, like front loading your week in terms of like being consistent, like hitting your protocol spot on, getting your workouts in. Then while you're there, just focus on movement in terms of steps. Like something I've been using with clients recently is steps like cycling throughout the week, because not every day is going to look the same. If you have a travel day, if you're driving in a car, flying on a plane, that day may be a little bit lower in movement. Yes, you can front load your day if it makes sense for your flight. But then let's say you go on a hike and you go way over your step goal that day. At the end of the week, just like with calories in versus calories out, like what matters is like the weekly average. And like Zach said, he'll cycle his calories where he goes over one day with what that may be, like having pizza in moderation, having alcohol in moderation. The next day he's a little bit under. Same can go for your steps. If you're struggling to get in your steps and you're in that black and white mindset of like 10K steps, like, oh, I missed, might as well not even focus on activity. Like, let's say you're at 8K, the next day, can you aim for 12,000? And that may sound like a lot, but like strategizing the time you're on the treadmill, going on a walk, just like taking the stairs here and there, like it does add up. And when you're on a trip, like in Scottsdale, for example, going on a hike, like I was talking to one of my group coaching girls and she's like, we're going to go on a hike this day. I'm like, okay, let's go over your steps that day. Travel day, we're a little bit under. We're aiming for 70,000 total for the whole week. I know that may sound like a lot, but like we build up to that. It's not like a client comes in and we're like, hey, 10,000 steps, 70,000 per week. But it just helps you maintain that energy expenditure we talked about, so that if your intake is fluctuating, your maintenance calories, like in terms of your output, is staying as close as possible to what it is during the week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that just points to the like whole conversation about we don't have to necessarily be like a robot with some of these protocols. And I think like I've been guilty of that in the past where it's like, you know, this is our calorie goal. Like we have to hit this calorie goal no matter what. Like, and it just, it doesn't have to be that black and white. I think sometimes we can realize like, hey, you know, this is going to be a more sedentary day. This is going to be a travel day, like where, you know, I'm kind of sitting on my ass most of the day. Like I'm not going to be expelling, you know, a whole lot of activity. There's nothing wrong with, you know, maybe playing into that and understanding like, hey, maybe my intake or my caloric intake isn't going to be at the same capacity today as maybe it is on a day where it's super active. And I know we're getting into a little bit of nuance there with like adjusting calorie intake depending on like activity levels. So totally different conversation, you know, than what we're having right now. So we could dive into details on that. All I'm saying is like, you know, it's important to understand like, hey, these things can fluctuate. Like intake can fluctuate depending on those activity levels in these moments, like where we are A, you know, super sedentary or, you know, on the flip side, super, super active. I think it's important to like have at least an awareness around that. And obviously at the end of the day, understand, you know, the protocols that you have in place. Cause like Christine and I will develop plans for clients where it's like, hey, you know, regardless, let's hit this same calorie goal every single day because we're trying to create that weekly average. Cause at the end of the day, like that's how we start trending results, guys, is like, it's not what happens one day. It's not what happens, you know, in that moment in one meal or one workout, it's the trend of the week as a whole. You know, what were the calories for the whole week as a whole? What were the, you know, what were our activity levels like, you know, out of the 7 days of that week? You know, that's really how we want to start to think about how our progress and how our results are going to trend over time is really, you know, our accumulation of habits as that happens over time.
Yeah. And I think that for us, weekends have always been tough for us. But I think the biggest game changer was when we looked at our movement. We live in Ohio in the Midwest. Like it's very cold in these winter months. Like right now it's like 20 degrees, but we're still hitting our steps each day, literally by going to the grocery store on Sunday or like going to the gym on Saturday morning and being like, hey, I'm going to walk on the treadmill or do cardio for a little bit, and then we go about our weekend. And that made a huge, huge, huge difference in like making our weekends look more like weekdays, because we'd spend all week being super active, being super dialed in on nutrition. Then we'd be more flexible on the weekend with nutrition and our movement would drop significantly. So then I'd go in Monday morning and be like, why does it always feel like I'm kind of starting over every Monday? And that could be a reason why. So movement played a huge role. And then another question about like bachelorette parties, weekends around people who aren't on the same lifestyle with you. Like Zach said, like while he was around people who maybe weren't on the same, you know, wavelength when it comes to nutrition and training, that's something I hear all the time. Like when going on a vacation with family or a bachelorette party is, what do I do around these other people who don't care about macros or don't care about pre-logging their food? And I always say like, just do it behind the scenes. Like you don't have to make it.
You don't have to make it a big deal.
Like nobody even has to know. And so when I went on a bachelorette party in Chicago recently, I hit my step goal naturally because we were just going on walks around the city. I didn't say like, hey, everyone, good morning, I have to hit 10K steps, let's go on a walk. Like it just naturally happens. And then, like I said, cycling through your steps can help you hit your personal goal. But also like a lot of clients I have, like we'll be preparing for a trip and they'll say like, I asked my friend to go on a walk with me in the morning. Like they're super excited. So it may also open up opportunity for you to inspire someone else to be more active. So just choose those people you're comfortable with and be like, hey, I want to go walk and get coffee. Like it doesn't have to be like, hey, I need to hit my step goal, can you go on a walk with me for 45 minutes? It can just be something casual to increase your movement a little bit. But also when it comes to nutrition, I just try and pack as much as possible. That's going to help me at least have protein forward options. Like I'll bring chopsticks with me. I'll bring protein bars with me, like Nash bars, and just make sure when I'm at the airport, like I choose those high protein options when I'm by myself. That way when I'm around others, I can choose something that's more flexible. I can weave in alcohol, because in those behind the scenes moments, I'm still on track and aligning my actions with my goals. But also you can like look ahead at menus and pre-log without anybody even knowing that you're doing that. What I'll typically do is on my way like to the airport or on my way to the Airbnb, like when I went to Chicago recently, girls are very different from guys. So it's much easier for us to plan ahead and pre-log, because we'll send an itinerary like, here's the nights we're going out, here's the theme, here's the mood board, here's our restaurants we're going to. So I always look up the menus beforehand and think about what I'm going to get. I always choose something protein forward. I'll get like a steak or some kind of entree, because I want to use my soul food on spicy margaritas, just to be honest with you. So I will look up what I want ahead of time, pre-log that first. Like basically thinking about spending your budget financially, you want to like account for the splurges you're going to have. So I'll put my dinner, my drinks, and then say like, here's what I have left for breakfast and lunch. So I'm not like kind of like looking up the menu and pre-logging at the table in my Fitness Pal. So I'm doing all that on the back end, like before I'm even around anyone. So it doesn't have to be a thing of like, people don't understand your lifestyle. You don't even have to like bring it up and make it a thing. You can just do it. It's personal to you. It's your personal goals. And I think not drawing attention to it, not that it's a negative thing to be, you know, trying to hit a protein goal. And what I do on the weekends when I'm traveling is like calories only with a success range, protein forward meals. I'm not hitting my protein goal, but I'm just trying to get as close as I can without stressing about it. and then trying to stay active with my steps, hit a water goal. So those things you can take with you literally anywhere, on vacation with family, going home for a weekend, on a bachelorette party, even like if you're attending a wedding, like you can still use those strategies and still make it, like I said, behind the scenes, so you're not drawing attention to it if someone else is on a different wavelength than you when it comes to health and fitness. So we did get, like I said, a lot of questions around how to handle the weekend. So we wanted to kind of tie that up to like how we personally have done it over these past social weekends, how we recommend you guys do it as clients. So once again, just try and make it as close as possible to your weekday habits, activities, and routines, and then just plan ahead and just be proactive so that you're not in the moment like pulling away from being present in MyFitnessPal, but you're also not being reactive and saying like, whoa, I went over 1,000 calories, like on to the next day. You know what I mean? Like, it's never a failure. It's always a lesson. Like, how could I have improved? Where could I have had moderation? Where could I have chosen something that's 1% better? And fitness is really a lot like personal development. You have to be self-aware, reflect, grow, and change your habits. And that's the same with anything personal development wise. But one thing I did want to touch on before we get into more of the Q&A is my cut update too. So I've been doing the same things, like I said, on the weekends that I just talked about, like being intentional with movement, being intentional with protein, still having flexibility if there's a social event. But I've definitely cut back on drinking quite a bit, just to be honest. Like, I don't want to set an unrealistic expectation. I'm obviously a very balanced human, but in this season, I had to be at like a very high level of like thinking, energy, and I also want to feel my best. And I realized over time that like, even a couple of like social drinks, like in moments where I didn't really need it, I just felt like I had to drink. You know, like we're out to dinner, like I typically get a margarita, I'm going to get one. Then the next day I'm like, damn, my recovery is super low on my Aura Ring. I don't feel like, we do this podcast on Sundays too, so I want to be able to be like, you know, streaming sentences together without feeling, you know, like I'm not able to. So like, I want to make sure.
Yeah, people probably think we're nuts, but honestly, it's literally just how your body adapts. Like, we've noticed it. Like, it's a double-edged, I always tell my clients this, I'm like, it's literally a double-edged sword, because like, as you start drinking less, like the hangovers and the, like, it literally just gets worse. Like, us drinking just a few drinks, like, would never have bothered us in the past. And yeah, it's like, now it's like, we legitimately, like, we'll have a couple of drinks and I will literally feel completely like shit the next day. Yeah. And it's like, what the hell? Like, so, I mean, again, if you're someone listening, some people probably think we're like nuts, but it really is just the reality of it. Like, if you are drinking more, like you do get used to that feeling. So it's just like, in your body adapts, your body gets used to it. Like, I know my body was used to it at higher levels, but like recently, as we've cut back, like it just sucks now. Like, it hits us so hard. Like, yeah, it's bad.
It does. And I think we're obviously going to drink like at our wedding and on our honeymoon and stuff, but unless it's a special occasion, like a bachelorette party I went on recently, or Zach going on bachelor parties, like we don't just drink just to drink. And I think the old us used to do that. Like I said, we used to go out and drink like a pitcher of margaritas, and now it feels the same, like how I felt after one pitcher as one margarita. So I'm just like choosing based on how I feel, and it's not like I'm cutting out alcohol like entirely, but I think cutting back has helped me not only mentally, like it's helped with anxiety, managing stress in this season of life, but it's also helped with my physique too. I think that the last time I cut out alcohol, like kind of similar to this extent, when I used to compete, like the last like 3 or 4 months of my prep, I couldn't drink at all. And I felt better than I ever have. I had so much more energy. I was getting so much done. I physically looked super, super lean. And I think that that had something to do with it. So it makes sense as to why like I'm feeling leaner. And I've had a couple people ask like, what are you doing? And I think that I would be silly not to say like, I did cut back on drinking, because I don't want to say like, you know, I'm super balanced drinking 4 days a week and achieving this physique, because that's just not the reality. And so that's helped me decrease inflammation quite a bit. We eat a very anti-inflammatory diet. We kind of eat like, our dinner is very Mediterranean. Like, it's salmon, it's olive oil, it's olives, it's like vegetables, it's a lot of fiber. Our lunch is very protein heavy, like salad based. And then I typically eat most of my carbohydrates around my training, where I'll have like oats for breakfast, a protein bar with carbohydrates. I'll have a lot of fruit and protein. So my like first couple meals are all protein carbohydrates. My second half of my day is mostly like protein and healthy fats and produce. And that's where I personally feel my best. I feel like my digestion, my energy is also in a really good place, because I'm not like spiking my blood sugar all day long. And it just helped me have a really balanced plate. And I know I share a lot of my meals, and I try and give a disclaimer, like these look like they're very low carb, but like I'm not showing the entire day. So I just want to give some context there. But what we're eating is very anti-inflammatory. And I've just been super consistent like for a long period of time. I started my cut back in January. So I've been cutting and kind of cycling through, like I'll cut for 3 weeks, do a diet break for a few days where I go up to maintenance. And that's a strategy that I think really helps with adherence, knowing like I'm not going to be at these low calories for 3 to 4 months at a time. I only have to stay here for 3 weeks, be super consistent. I get a break where like it helps to decrease your hunger hormones and also get your fat loss hormones back on track, because sometimes over a cut we can adapt like our metabolism and our maintenance. So that's a whole other thing, but that's helped me with adherence. It's helped me with social events. Like that weekend I went to The Bachelorette, I was in a diet break that weekend. I didn't treat it like a cheat meal or a cheat weekend. I just used higher calories, still ate lots of goal foods. My only soul food was really alcohol, and that helped me to reset. I came back, had a new low weigh-in. So during this cut, I wasn't like chasing a goal weight per se, but I just wanted my dress to fit me really comfortably, and I wanted to feel confident. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I did get asked a question like, did I do this cut because I wasn't happy with my physique? And the reality was, like, in the past when I did cut and my hormones were imbalanced, my stress was super, super high, not regulated, my body wouldn't respond. It's a super frustrating cycle to go through, and I've seen it happen with clients. And that's why I wove in hormone testing into coaching, is that you can be doing all the right things and your body could be saying like, not today. We want to stay where we're at. Like if your stress isn't regulated, your adrenals are off, your estrogen, progesterone, all these things, my testosterone was super low. So like nothing I was doing was working. So this cut has felt so easy and it's been a lot more enjoyable. And that's why I've been sharing the process of it, because this is how it should feel. Like cutting shouldn't be necessarily easy. Like it's hard to be in a calorie deficit. It's hard to stay consistent, to get proper sleep, to manage stress, but my body's response is easier is what I'm getting at. So that's been like what I've been trying to share throughout this cut. And what I've been doing differently leading straight up to the wedding is, like I said, I did a diet break recently, back to cutting calories. I increased my cardio a little bit. So like on my active rest days, I used to do 45 minutes. Now I'm doing 60 minutes. I've been doing Peloton classes just to like kind of turn off my brain from work mode and just like execute, feeling like I'm going to a class. And I'll do like a walk, run, or a cycle class. And then I'm doing 3 lifts a week. And then now I'm bringing calories up a little bit going into wedding week, just to kind of fill out a little bit. Something I've noticed is like I reach a certain point of like leanness where I start to lose like kind of like the curves, and I don't feel like super confident when that happens. So I just want to make sure I'm fueling my body, my muscles with enough. So I'm bringing calories up a little bit, not all the way to maintenance, but just like kind of that halfway point in reverse diet fashion going into the wedding this weekend, honeymoon.
And this topic honestly just segues perfectly into one of the questions that I actually got, which was, do you change your workout plan based on cutting, bulking, or do you just adjust calories accordingly? This is a phenomenal question. And I think if you understand, you know, the intent that you're getting behind the training, you can without a doubt match up, you know, a little bit of a different focus area of the training to the type of diet phase or nutrition phase that you might be in. You know, personally, you know, for me, or, you know, say it's a client who, you know, they're looking to go into a building phase. And I like to just call it a building phase versus bulking. But this is just a very strategic way of us getting calories up above maintenance, not in excess, but just being strategic that we're giving the body a little bit more than what it's burning or expelling, so that we can start to initiate more of that muscle tissue growth in a more optimal fashion. You know, can you still create tissue adaptations, you know, at maintenance in a cut? Yes. Are you going to give yourself a little bit of an edge and a surplus? Yes. You know, so there's varying degrees at which, you know, we can create those adaptations and the degree of optimization that we can go. But, you know, that's where, if the goal is to put on muscle tissue, if it is to be in a building phase, you know, creating a training program or delivering training where it is more hypertrophy focused is going to be obviously beneficial. You know, this is going to put us in a situation where the training is going to match up with the nutrition, which is going to match up with the goal. Same kind of thing if you had like a strength or performance goal. You know, we at least would want you at maintenance calories, or, you know, potentially in that slight bit of a surplus, to be able to have the strength ability and give yourself the ability to, you know, hit that performance metric, or, you know, not essentially be in a compromised state or an energy depleted state. And then same kind of thing on the back end, you know, with the cut. And this is where you have to be a little bit careful, but I would say to increase, you know, the activity levels, obviously we want to start to create that separation and that deficit between calories in, calories out. So keeping the activity levels high in that cutting phase, you know, is going to be smart, because that way, you know, we know we're in that energy depleted state, and that added bit of activity or extra activity is going to help us push into that state and be consistently in that deficit, you know, in a more controlled, longer duration. So that's just where you can kind of play with, you know, adjusting the focus, I like to call it, because like for me, for example, I personally love to always just have a blend of, you know, my strength training, my hypertrophy training, kind of within the same category, basically like the lifting and the resistance training. I love to be, or I love that to be present, you know, in my training, regardless of what nutrition phase I'm in. And then I really feel good when I'm conditioning. It just is the rate at which what will be the main focus of the training. You know, while I'm always integrating strength, hypertrophy, conditioning into my training personally, the degrees at which I'm going to focus on those different things might change depending on the nutrition phase. You know, I might during this phase lean a little bit more into hypertrophy, but still have a little bit of a strength and conditioning focus. And then there might be other periods of time where I lean heavier into the strength conditioning and then pull back from the hypertrophy. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. You know, I know that I've built a lot of muscle tissue, so I've been pulling back a little bit on the hypertrophy training and doing more conditioning, more just like, you know, strength, stability, conditioning work, you know, aerobic conditioning, anaerobic conditioning in my training now that I am cutting. And then that's obviously something you want to be smart about too, because you don't want to get too big into a deficit where like the energy expenditure is too high and your intake's too low. So that's why monitoring that biofeedback, monitoring your hunger levels, monitoring, you know, how your body is changing and responding over time can be so crucial. So again, anytime you guys ask me a question like that, you know you're going to get a long-winded answer, because I liked my brain is just like thinking of every possible scenario. But yeah, to answer the question, you know, you can definitely change the workout plan in accordance to, you know, what you're doing nutritionally to either like to just help you push closer to that goal that you're trying to ultimately achieve. So that's really what it comes down to, is like, what is the intent? What is like the goal of, you know, the maintenance phase, the cutting phase, or the building phase, which is pretty clear. But we'd still want to know what the outcome is. And then we can tailor the training focus and the nutrition focus to that goal. So that's why it's always just so important, guys. Like, no matter what, just always understand the intent. Why am I using this diet strategy? Why am I eating this amount of calories? Why am I training in this way? And then when you can answer that question, you can really align all of those things really well with the goal you're ultimately looking to achieve.
Yeah. And honestly, you're just ripping off what Zach said. Like, everything he mentioned, it applies to like, obviously me and my clients. Like, what's the intention? What's the goal of this season of their fitness journey? For most women, like the actual workout, like resistance training doesn't change. We're still focusing on progressive overload, whether we're in a cut, we're in a building phase, we're in a body recomposition at maintenance phase, or reverse diet. It's essentially, yeah, the calories are changing, and then also just like fitting it into their schedule, because every season, you know, changes. I have clients who like work will pick up a lot, and if we're in a cut and we're trying to make time for cardio and lifting, sometimes we'll switch from 4 to 3 days. And that's what I did in this past season for my cut too, going from 4 days to 3. But my lifting days weren't like, okay, we're just going to do circuit, we're not focusing on progressive overload. Like, I just condensed those 4 days into 3. And then woven cardio. And this really helped fit into my schedule versus trying to do like a full lift and cardio every single day, 4 days a week. So it just really helped me divide things up. So I think it's dependent on not only like your goal, your intention, but also like what season of life are you in? And is this fitting into your lifestyle, or are you trying to fit your lifestyle around your training? Because then we may have to make some changes to make it sustainable for you long term. Getting into more of the Q&As. A lot of these are wedding related. So maybe do like a more of a wedding Q&A, like rapid fire at the end, but getting into some of the like fitness, personal development, the Life Rewired-esque topics. One of the questions we got was personal development recommendations for boundaries, routine, and schedule. And one of my favorite for boundaries is set boundaries, find peace. This was one that really saved me in a season of life where I was burnt out and not able to really like communicate, whether that's to someone you work for or to people in your life. It relates it to family, work, and like relationships where you set boundaries. But I think one of the most important boundaries you set in terms of like time management and schedule is with yourself. Like, if you're not hitting your nutrition protocols, you're not sticking to a schedule of like, I said I'd work out this morning, I hit snooze, like that's breaking a boundary with yourself, and it doesn't feel good. Just like it doesn't feel good when you break a boundary with someone else and have someone kind of like walk all over you. So I would read Set Boundaries, Find Peace. One that also helped me, because I realized those boundaries with myself that I was breaking with schedule and routine, this may not be the answer you expect, but it was due to self-sabotage. And there was something underlying that was preventing me from keeping those promises and those routines with myself. And reading the book The Mountain Is You really helped to work through like what is holding you back from overcoming this goal, or like what's creating self-sabotage and preventing you from keeping promises to yourself. So those are my top two recommendations just right off the bat of like boundaries, routine. And a lot of times it's like your time management is dependent on your stress management. And reading the book Becoming Superwoman, the 12 steps from burnout to balance, is like life-changing, because in that season where I was self-sabotaging, not upholding boundaries, I was so stressed that it was like becoming detrimental to my mental health. And that book really showed me that like if that continues, like the author of that book, Nicole Lappin, she was in the hospital for stress, and she talked about like she runs multiple businesses. She's like a very high achieving woman, and that can sometimes be our downfall if we're not careful. And she talks about how she created that balance of like working hard but also playing hard. And I think that that helps you keep promises to yourself and stick to a schedule too.
Yeah, Chris pretty much nailed it. You guys just have to look for those personal development books that are going to help you develop self-awareness, or, you know, at the minimum, just help you like press pause and evaluate. Because I talked about that on a recent podcast. Like, it even got the best of me recently, where like I was allowing the demands of my job and entrepreneurship to overcome, you know, my daily morning routine, my, you know, morning workouts, you know, my daily gratitude, my meditation. Like, I legitimately let all of that shit fall by the wayside because I was letting my work completely consume me. And Christina saw it firsthand, where I would literally like wake up and I would basically come straight into my office and like start work versus like doing my morning routine and like getting that workout in. I even started pushing the workouts for like months in a row. Like, I was pushing all my workouts to the afternoon, evening, which I always preach like morning workouts. So I'm like, what the hell am I even doing? So it can just show you guys that like, no matter who we are or what we're doing, like, this can get the best of us. And we just have to put ourselves in that position. Like Christina talked about, when we read these books, it puts us in a position where we actually press pause and think about what the fuck is going on. And I know I emphasize that because guess how, like, think about how many times you actually do that in a given day. We don't do it a lot. Like, we really don't. In this very distracted day and age that we're in, it's like we are constantly thinking about the next thing. We're constantly checking social media. We're constantly consumed by our work. We're constantly consumed by all the text messages we're getting, all the work obligations, all the emails. It's like all of us are insanely overwhelmed. Attention is the hottest commodity right now because no one fucking has it. So if you guys can put yourself in a position to give yourself space to be aware of what's working and what's not working, you can adjust and adapt your life really easily. And that's what happened to me. I had to take a step back. I had to pull myself literally out of, you know, that routine with social events, with my own bachelor party, with another friend's bachelor party, to give myself the space. And also, you know, even with getting back into reading in the morning, like, that gives me my space to actually think about how I'm living, how I'm operating. And I think that can really help you reassess, am I setting the boundaries I need to live the happy and healthy life that I want to be living?
I love that. It all comes down to personal development, honestly. And this next question kind of like transitions perfectly off of that, which is how to have discipline on the days you don't really want to do the things that, you know, that we set out to do. And I think that, to be honest, like, you're not going to be motivated like probably 80-90% of the time. Like, we do this every single day in terms of like working out, hitting our nutrition goals. But like, there are days we don't want to do it. And I would say it's most days, you know? And
I always just think about how my habits are compounding. Yeah. I'm literally like, if I choose to do this thing today, what's my future going to look like? If I choose not to do this thing today, how's that going to impact my future? And I've just brainwashed myself to literally think like, and realize every decision I'm making in this moment to either do the thing or not do the thing is either positively or negatively impacting my future.
Yes. And during check-ins this week, I said that with a lot of clients, because like in our system and software we use for training, like, we set daily goals, your nutrition goals, your workout, steps and water. And every day you check it, it turns into like a yellow check mark. It creates like a streak of consistency. And same thing goes for nutrition. You get like a gold star for your nutrition. So I've been explaining a lot, like, every day you hit that gold star, you're one step closer to your goal. Every day you miss it, the reality is you're one day further away from achieving that goal. So when you're in that moment of like, oh, I don't really feel like doing this, like, are you cool with being one day further away, or are you going to be more like proud of yourself and accomplished when you are one day closer? And I was listening to a actual audiobook this morning on a Sunday morning. I was doing my skincare, listening to Forever Strong, which is from Dr. Gabrielle Line. She talked about how goal setting can really be kind of detrimental to people who don't understand, like, that it's really creating a set of standards for yourself. Like, instead of saying like, my goal is to lose 50 pounds, my goal is to be at X amount of weight, my goal is to build X amount of muscle or hit this PR, you have to set a list of standards you're going to live by every single day. And you can't let yourself fall below those standards, because it's not a good feeling. And it's ultimately pulling you further away from who you want to be for momentary satisfaction or gratification. And that discipline is built over time. That's the reality. Like, you become the person you want to be by like putting in that daily action. When you set a list of standards, like, I'm someone who moves my body every day. That doesn't always have to be a workout. Maybe you're not motivated to work out that day, but can you go on a walk? Can you get your step going? Maybe then you move your workout to tomorrow. But then if you skip your workout again tomorrow, you're not living by that set of standards, and you're letting yourself settle for being comfortable where you're at. And fitness is hard. Like, being in calorie deficit is hard, hitting your go-to meals and workouts is hard. It's never easy to fit it into your schedule, but it gets easier the more often you do it. And if you pull yourself back from like actually building that momentum or compound effect Zach was talking about in a positive direction, you're just going to be stuck where you're at. So you have to ask yourself, like, what's my hard? Like, am I going to choose the hard that's like being where I'm at and being unsatisfied, being comfortable, or is my hard actually doing this workout when I don't feel like it, I guarantee you'll feel better afterwards. And there's an extent of like listening to your body and being soft. And I think that the fitness industry is kind of in a really hard balance of like being soft and being hard. And there's really not that in between. And we hope we can create that in between with, you know, coaching, because there are times where you just have to like tell yourself, like, you have to get it done. Like, if you want this badly enough, like, you ultimately, no one's going to make you do it. Like, no one can want it bad enough for you. You have to do the hard thing, or the hard thing is like being where you're at, being unhealthy, whether that's like, and fitness is going to help you decrease your risk factors, you know, for the rest of your life. Like, that's a hard thing to experience. Is this workout harder than that? Or is it more comfortable than that? And so I think you have to really ask yourself those hard questions and honestly just like put in the action. That's ultimately what's going to help you build that discipline over time, so you don't have to rely on motivation. And the second part, and like part two of this question, is how to stay motivated with your go-to meals when they're not hitting the spot anymore. And honestly, Zach and I, it's kind of funny, like we always hit this point of our go-to meals at the same time or same week, where you just create a new go-to meal for that time slot. So like, I wouldn't like kind of upheave like your entire menu for the week all at once, like change your breakfast, lunch, dinner, because then it becomes overwhelming. Like, okay, how do I pre-log this? How do I fit into my macros? My grocery list is now completely different, which then can throw off your budgeting or your grocery haul and stuff like that. So we just replace one meal at a time. So recently we got sick of our dinner. And sometimes it's just a matter of changing the protein source, keeping the same sides, or keeping the same protein source, changing up the sides or like the carbs and fat that you're having. And that gets us through a lot of like that kind of boredom. We're very big creatures of habit, so that boredom doesn't really typically sway us. But there are times where we're just like, this dinner is just like, I'm not looking forward to it. And like, you shouldn't be eating go-to meals you don't actually enjoy. Like, your healthy meals get to be really good and get to taste really good. We give recipe packs to our clients. We give meal ideas constantly. So I would check out, like, I have a highlight on my page of meal ideas, and you'll see how it changes over time. Probably stick to the same meal for at least like a month and then switch up like our dinner, or stick to the same lunch for a month, switch that up. So I'd switch up one meal at a time, try and find something with the same like calorie amount. Like, let's say your meal 600 calories, 40 grams of protein, try and find something that's similar but different at the same time. And maybe just try replacing, like I said, the sides of the protein, or the protein in the sides, and then just do one meal at a time. Because if it's not hitting the spot anymore, you're not going to look forward to it. You're going to be more convinced, or like there's going to be resistance to eat something that's maybe soul food or convenient going through the drive-thru. And I think that that creates boredom on your fitness journey, which shouldn't be the case. And this next question is kind of similar on balancing hitting your macros and going out to eat or ordering food in, because this person said, like, I don't feel like I can eat out anymore because it throws off my macros, and then I get kind of tired of my everyday meals. And my philosophy on like a week span, like if you look at Sunday through Monday, for example, if you're hitting your macros like 5-6 days a week, and there's one day where you're just hitting your calorie goal and protein goal, that's kind of like freedom tracking, and I like to use that on the weekends, then you're going to be okay. Like, you are what you do most of the time. So if you're hitting your carbs and fat 5 days per week, your protein 6 days, your calories 7 days, like, I think that's a perfect week, and that's how I live by my week. And I still use success ranges of like a little bit higher calories when I'm hungry, or a little bit lower if I'm not that hungry. Like, you still want to listen to your hunger cues, but hitting your macros perfectly is like a puzzle piece that's hard to fit. But once you get used to it, and you know, like, I don't have to do this every single day. Like, if I do this 5 days per week, that's 70% consistency across the week, which is a passing grade if you think about a grading scale in school. So like this week, for example, we got to Friday, and Friday was a little bit of a busier day. And by 2 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I haven't eaten lunch yet. Like, our lunch just doesn't sound good today. And there's days like that for us, even like where we have like our chicken salad for lunch. And at the end of the week, we were kind of like running low on like our vegetables, like our ingredients we put in it. So it would have just been like chicken and, you know, a couple vegetables. So I'm like, this doesn't really sound good. I'm like, hey, do you want to get takeout from a restaurant that's close by? And even though I got something similar, I got still a chicken salad, but it was like, there was fruit on it, there was sweet potatoes, there was a different dressing. It just like hit differently, and we didn't have to make it ourselves on a busy day. But I still chose something that was similar in calories, protein, and ingredients even. But eating out, like, I just try to find the closest option in my fitness pal. And that day I'm like, this is a calorie and protein only day. I hit my macros Sunday through Thursday. That's 5 days in a row. Like, I'm okay to be not on point perfectly, but I do think there's a point where like you do want to pay attention to your carbs and fat. If you're noticing your body composition is not trending in the right direction, or your weight is not trending in the right direction, because your macros are there for a reason. Like, your carbohydrate intake, your fat intake, like, your fat's super important for hormones. It helps balance blood sugar. Your carbohydrate intake, some of us are more insulin resistant. I've learned that with myself through my hormone protocol and my current like cutting phase, is that my body's response to carbohydrates, like, I do have to really balance it out with protein, fiber, and fat. So if I'm not paying attention to my carbs, the scale is going to be fluctuating like crazy, because a high carb day, like, let's say I eat double the carbs than what I'm used to, your body's going to retain some water. So I'll look at food logs for clients and see like a big spike in carbohydrates, and there's some confusion. I'm like, why is the scale spiking? If you put them side by side, the graphs line up perfectly. On those days where we're not paying attention to carbs, the scale fluctuates up. So there's a certain extent where like you do want to pay attention to your carbs and fat, but you don't have to be perfect 100% of the time. I think you can have that flexibility of like, if I hit my macros 5 days this week, I can eat out this weekend, but I'm still going to choose similar foods, you know, as to what I would eat. But it's a little bit more exciting. It tastes different when you're not the one making it. I think a salad tastes so much better when you're not the one to make it. Not that you have to pick a salad. That's just what I was eating for lunch that day. But yesterday we were out doing like wedding things. We were running errands. We were at a coffee shop and we're like, we're so hungry. We could have easily chose a place that like didn't have the best options. And we actually looked at the menu at the hotel we were at and we're like, hey, here's this restaurant. The food like honestly doesn't align with like my calories for the day because of what we had for breakfast and dinner. So we had to be like, let's go to True Food. It was like 15-minute drive, but we went to True Food. We got something that fit, you know, what we wanted. It tasted so good. And we had a little like date day versus being like, let's just go home and eat our lunch, which just like wouldn't have been the move that day. So have that flexibility to eat out, but also know that standard with yourself that like, I'm paying attention to these things. I'm intentional with my macros most of the time. And that's what matters most. You do not have to be perfect 7 days of the week.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we just like underestimate and overestimate ourselves. And what I mean by that is like, I try to teach my clients to view their week as like kind of like Christina said, like almost like a Sunday, kind of like Sunday to Monday type situation. And the way I like to think about it, you know, Chris and I will utilize, and we try to teach our clients this, like, let's just be honest, like a lot of people just completely wash their Sundays. Like people just like lounge, watch TV and do nothing productive on Sunday. But if you can kind of flip that and just be like even a little bit more intentional, like something that has drastically helped Chris and I is like, pretty much non-negotiably, every single Sunday, we're going to the grocery store. Like we know our go-to meals, we know what we're going to be eating that week, and then we buy the groceries to facilitate that week of eating. So it really is a whole system. Like, and you guys know this, like a lot of you guys are working awesome jobs. Like to be successful, you need systems. And so like that really works well for us, where we view Sunday as like our reset day, get our groceries for the week, eat all of our normal meals, and then we're pretty much dialed all week long. And this is how I like really try to teach my clients to think of their week in like a true like 80-20 style lifestyle trend. But basically like Sunday through Friday, all your meals are just your go-to healthy meals. You know, your calories are dialed, your protein is dialed. And then say you have something social Friday night. That's one meal. You know, that's one meal of the whole week. So we use Friday night, you know, for some flexibility. Then Saturday, like unless you guys are like, you know, popping off at 8 a.m, like you're probably going to eat your normal just like breakfast. So like think about it like that, like eat your normal breakfast. And then say you even like go out and like day drink with some friends, like you're going to be drinking and eating some food for lunch, and then you're going to be drinking and eating some food for dinner. And then Sunday you're back on track. Then rinse, wash, repeat. When we look at that week as a whole, you realistically only had like two or three meals that were like not your go-to meals. But the problem is that most people view this situation as like, okay, it's Thursday. Let's go get some drinks with some friends. All right, now it's Friday. I kind of feel like shit. I'm going to eat like crap. I'm going to get drinks again. Then Saturday hits and then it's literally like a full day bender, you know, all out, drink, eat all day long Saturday. Then you feel like crap on Sunday. Then we're getting wings, like watching some sports or doing something on Sunday. So then, you know, what could have been like, you know, 2 to 3 meals is now 3 to 4 days of complete binge eating, binge drinking. And then we wonder why we're not seeing progress or results. When in reality, all we had to do is take that, you know, 3 to 4 day binge, you know, maybe just tighten it up a hair, like not eliminate it, but let's just tighten it up a little bit. And then we're probably going to see much better results after the fact. So I think a lot of times we just like, we underestimate how a little bit more discipline will impact the trajectory of our results. And we overestimate how much damage or overestimate how well we're doing sometimes, honestly. Like we overestimate like how on track we really are. Because when we take a step back and we look at the week like that, which I would encourage you all to do that, I'm sure you can find those little instances where I overate here, I overate there. I ate some things I didn't account for in my logs here. I ate some things I didn't account for in my logs there. Because I'm telling you guys from experience, like we've done that. we've done everything and we've made every mistake in the book that there is. And so, yeah. So I highly encourage you guys to like really start looking at the week very objectively, where it's like, what did my week look like as a whole? What did the meals look like, you know, throughout that whole week?
Yeah. And I liked what you said about like, it's just being 3 meals versus 3 or 4 days. Cause if you think about you're having 3 meals a day for 7 days, that's 21 meals for the week. If 3 of those are kind of out of routine or soul food, that's only 14% of your week. So it's still like not what you do most of the time. So you're going to be okay. But I do think also switching up your go-to meals, so it's something you look forward to a little bit more. Once again, like we talked about in the last question, on weekends where we're either trying to budget, we're trying not to eat out quite a bit. Like the reality is like eating at home does help you hit your fitness goals and, you know, financial goals a little bit easier, but we don't want you guys to be restricted to like eating at home and not enjoying time with people. I lived that life when I was competing and it was not fun. Like where I'm bringing Tupperware to a Mother's Day lunch, like that is not the vibe, let me tell you. But there is a fine balance of like just logging with intention, knowing I don't have to be perfect. But also if you are having the desire to eat out because your food is kind of boring you a little bit, what we'll do is we'll think about like that restaurant we had lunch at Friday. We'll look at the menu and be like, what's our favorite thing on this menu? And one time we were like tuna steak with rice and vegetables sounds so good. So like on the weekend, that weekend we bought ingredients to make that. We looked at the menu, bought the ingredients that were similar. It was way cheaper because we made it ourselves. It was probably like a quarter of the price. And then we made that same meal we'd want to get out to eat. So like on the weekends, maybe you have a different meal that you would want out to eat. Like this is actually one of my clients, and I know that we had a conversation recently about like having protein sources in the fridge on the weekends that like don't go bad, like turkey burgers, for example. At True Food, their turkey burger is so good. So like, let's say I was craving something different, but we wanted to eat at home. I'd look at the ingredients and be like, I'm going to make a True Food dupe, like a turkey burger at home. So it feels like you're getting that like kind of different meal, but it's still easier to log. It's still something that keeps you on track. So just giving you two different solutions where you have the permission to eat out and not be perfect a small percentage of the time, you know, on the weekends, but then you also have permission to be like, hey, I'm just going to switch up this go-to meal so I actually enjoy it. Next question is a little bit different in terms of topic, but someone's reading the Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is a book that I really, really want to read. I believe it's by Joe Dispenza, but it's about meditation and how we've been weaving in meditation and pushing yourself to meditate consistently. I think this is something that's really helped us manage stress during the season of life. And I've gone back and forth between different apps. I think finding an app or method that you enjoy and also being flexible with that too will keep you consistent. My therapist actually, it was like, hey, I don't think how you're trying to do meditation is really serving you. It's just a to-do list item in the morning for you to check off. We were at the time using Headspace and we were just like sitting down, like rushing through it kind of, and then being like, okay, on to the next thing for morning routine, onto work. And it wasn't really like serving a purpose of like making me present. It was just like, can't wait for this to be over so I can start work. But then I went through a phase where like I started weaving it into other moments of the day. Like Zach will have like a mindful lunch where like he's not on his phone when he's eating. That's, I believe, a form of meditation. Or I'll go on a walk without listening to anything. Just like peace and quiet is meditation. Or my therapist was like, at the end of your workout, listen to a meditation on Spotify or something, or YouTube. And I found a really good playlist that I liked of like 5-minute meditations on Spotify, which is completely free. And that helped me switch it up a little bit till we circled back to what we're doing now.
Yeah. And I really want to challenge all of you guys listening to this to like, really do not view meditation as meditation. I want you to view it as your one opportunity in the day to actually press pause and give yourself some space, because that really goes back to what I was talking about with like attention. Like we live in a day and age where attention is literally non-existent. Like it is so hard for anyone to like hold a conversation these days. Like it's funny, like I'll actually have people like ask me certain like tips or things like that, and I can literally see their like attention just like drift immediately. And it's just like, I don't know why we live in a day and age where it's like that, but it is very evident. So I'm sure all of you experience it. You know, your mind is constantly occupied with all of the things you have to do, or that are coming up that day or coming up that week, the things you have to do in your personal life for work. Like we're all strung so thin. And this meditation is your one fighting chance in a day to give yourself literally 5 minutes to press pause and not do anything, to just be present. Focus your mind on the moment. Be present. Like it's crazy how much of an impact something as simple as that can have on our mental health, given the fact we are all just so distracted and we have so much on our plates at all times.
Yeah. And I think what we're doing now helps us really press pause. And I love that mindset shift that you mentioned. But what we do now is like, we used to meditate on the couch where we would like journal, read personal development. We dive straight into work. But now we like go lay back in bed and I'll put my red light mask on. So I'm habit stacking with something I enjoy doing with my red light therapy mask for 5 minutes. And then we'll either do like a Spotify meditation for 5 minutes or Headspace. And now my mindset with it is just very different. Before, like, I started to kind of get tired of Headspace because I felt like it was kind of repetitive. But like if it becomes repetitive, switch it up and use a free meditation for 5 minutes just so you don't get like kind of bored of it. But now I'm looking at it from a different perspective of like, before I couldn't wait for the 5 minutes to be over. Now I don't want them to end. I want it to be 10 minutes. And over time you can build up and kind of progressively overload your meditation if you really want. But I would just start small and just like Zach said, like really think about it as like your one opportunity to press pause and fill up your cup. And I think the more you do it, like, and I'm sure he talks about this in the book about breaking the habit of being yourself, but like, I think it's kind of like a muscle. Like the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more benefits you get from it, the longer you do it, just like with anything, like with fitness and nutrition, the compound effect of it, I think, makes a big difference. So in the moments you may not feel like doing it, those are probably the moments you need to do it the most, to be honest. These next ones are going to be all kind of rapid fire wedding Q&A questions. First question is, who are bridesmaids? And Zach, you can answer your groomsmen, like just in terms of like people in your life, how many you have maybe. But my bridesmaids, I guess it was a tough decision to pick bridesmaids. And what I will say is like, we have an uneven amount. Zach has 11. I think this is something people stress about a lot. And it just didn't align with us to stress about this or make it a thing. But like Zach has 11 groomsmen. I have 6 bridesmaids and we're just doubling up as we walk down the aisle. I didn't feel the need to ask people just to ask and like make it even, because then I think it's putting an obligation to be a bridesmaid onto someone else. And to be honest, I've never been a bridesmaid before. So I didn't want to add like stress to people's lives. I wanted to make it as easy as possible. So we really came to that, like from that perspective, when we were asking people, when we were kind of like laying out that like kind of just like timeline of wedding planning, we try to make it as easy on our people and like spoil them, because we want to say how much we appreciate them being part of our lives versus saying like, here's what you have to do. Here's this trip. Here's what you have to invest in, all these things. We want it to be like a fun experience. And like, I think it's brought me so much closer to my bridesmaids, because it's given us like a lot of opportunities to get together and just like, you know, talk a lot more often. So my bridesmaids are my sister, Zach's sisters, 2 of them, and then a best friend from like each season of my life, which is kind of cool because then they've all become best friends. Like my childhood best friend is my maid of honor. My sister is my matron of honor. My college best friend is a bridesmaid as well. And then one of my best friends from like college, post-college, and all 3 of them are now best friends, which is really cool. And it was really cool to like have that vibe of like people who are so close to me. So like on the bachelorette party, like I had more people on my bachelorette than were bridesmaids. And I think that's very common nowadays to have friends who maybe aren't a bridesmaid on your bachelorette party. So it wasn't a tough decision for me. I think it was actually a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. And very similarly, I have, well, I guess not so similar. I have almost double.
very similar, but completely different.
But my 11 guys, I've got like 2 of my buddies from back home from St. Louis, like high school days that I grew. And actually one of them actually is like a childhood best friend of mine. We like grew up on the same street. So both guys from kind of like my childhood in the St. Louis days. And then I've got 2 guys from my OSU lacrosse days. And then all the other guys are all my football buddies that I played football with at Ohio State. So got a solid group. But yeah, we're really excited.
Yeah. And next question is, are we incorporating the dogs into the wedding? And sadly, no. They did say they can come for the ceremony, but to be honest, like, they're crazy. Like, if they see us, they'll start barking and, like, you know, they're husky. So they're very noisy.
Yeah,
so
they would just go crazy if they saw us.
Yeah, they would freak out. And they said they can come to the ceremony, then leave. But it is a rooftop venue. It's like, to be honest, like looking at it, it's not the most kid friendly or dog friendly place, which is why we're not having, you know, we're having my niece and nephew, but it's not a kid friendly wedding or dog friendly place. So we're not including them in the sense of like them being physically there. We do have a dog sitter for that weekend and our honeymoon. But at the wedding, we are getting married at a place where you can literally see, like, you can look at the exact spot we met with Bane and Ghost, and that's how our whole relationship started. So you can actually see, Ghost is looking at me while I'm saying this, he's our podcast audience every week, but you can see the spot we met. So that's like a part of them being there, like we have our whole relationship, you know, because of them. And then we're also doing our signature drinks. We have one that's the Ghost, one that's the Marvel. So like, I think that's a very like millennial thing that like, you know, people do, but I figured it was a way to include them in the wedding. Next question was, what's been the most stressful part of wedding planning? And I've kind of been like transparent about this lately, like the whole planning process, like we are big planners. We truly believe how you do one thing's how you do everything. So we've kind of treated this like a part-time job, like aside from our businesses, like we're very strategic with our meetings. We're very strategic with just kind of like how we've worked through the timeline of events and like things like that, and like romanticizing it too. Like we'll go to coffee shops and work on things, and it's something we get to do together. We've done the whole thing together. I think that's where a lot of stress comes from for brides, at least, where like their significant other isn't part of the decision making. They're not at the meetings. They kind of don't want anything to do with the wedding planning process.
Well, and just being organized. Like, yeah, Christina has been insanely organized throughout this process. Like, has a whole Google Drive folder for this. She's got like 5 or 6 different documents of organization for our wedding. So she's pretty much adopted her same professional and entrepreneurial skills into this. And it's been cool for me to see, because I know that like, I still remember like the first time Christina showed me like kind of like the whole just like behind the scenes of her online coaching business. And I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, how am I ever going to build all this? And then you just do over time. Like literally, like I just have over time. And now my Google Drive is like insanely organized and filled with stuff. But like, I think this is a good life lesson. It's like, anytime, you know, kind of going back to the thing with having a system with nutrition, it's like having a plan, being organized, eliminates stress. Like that's the thing that people don't understand, is like we almost like get caught up in the fact that like, hey, if I have to do this planning, or if I have to do this like systematic approach or build this systematic approach, like, oh, it's going to take me all this time and effort, but you're delaying gratification. You're like, I'm going to do this thing now so that it makes my life easier in the future. And that is like the story of our lives as entrepreneurs. Like we've had to build so many systems behind the scenes that you guys will never even see to create this seamless flow that you see on the top end. You don't see all the back end. And so that, I think that's just, it's a good life lesson as it relates to literally everything we're talking about. Like, you know, whether it's planning a wedding, whether it's planning out your fitness goals, planning out your professional goals, like having a plan, being organized, and having a system in place is going to help you become far more successful than if you didn't have those things.
100%. And as you were talking, I actually pulled up my Google Drive, because one of the questions was like all bridal tips, planning tips. I just want to explain like kind of the layout of it. I have a folder for printouts. I bought our printouts for the welcome sign, seating chart, signature drinks, memorial table, photo table, and dessert table on Etsy. They were all super cheap. It's like $3 for a seating chart that looks like beautiful. And then what I did is I went, they send it to you in this template software. It's kind of like Canva. And then you go in and just change the names. Like it was like, welcome to the wedding of so-and-so. And I changed it to Zach and Christina. And then we sent those to Vistaprint or Walgreens, like the pictures of like the signature drinks, the small ones I did on at Walgreens. It was like literally $3. Then I sent the big ones to Vistaprint on a foam board, and they got here in like 2 days, and they're perfect. Like not one error, not one smudge, like not anything off-centered. Like they look perfect. So I put all my printouts in one section, and then I just saved those for like the 2 week before period. Then I have all of our contracts. I think that's a very stressful part, is like, when are your payments due? When are your meetings with vendors? So we were very, I would say, just like to solve that problem, we were very organized with like putting it on both our calendars, making sure we were both on the invite so that we knew to plan our days around that with client work and then with meetings. And then I also have all the contracts in here just to keep track of like when payments are due. And we had a whole separate email for the wedding planning process. It was just like our last name, 2024, and gmail.com. So like making one that is separate for wedding planning is super helpful, because then when I check that email, I know it's not work related. I know it's not going to get mixed in with spam. It's only our vendors, the hotel, the venue, all these things like emailing me, and I can stay super organized. And then we also had a separate bank account for wedding things too, that we contributed to and had like our funds in there, so that when it was time to make a payment, we just transferred it and we got credit card points from that. So I would recommend doing that too if you're wedding planning, like using your credit cards, transferring money from a joint fund essentially. And I know everyone's different with their finances and wedding and things like that, but still worked for us. And then I have all the timelines that we have with vendors, all of our vendor information. We had a wedding budget Excel sheet, a wedding guest Excel sheet. And then I actually had a wedding planning timeline that was like from start to finish, like the moment you get engaged to the moment that you know, get married. And the Knot was also the software that we use for all of our wedding planning, RSVPs, our information and stuff like that. And they have a timeline on there, which is helpful. I think it's a little bit excessive. So that was kind of overwhelming. So I just used the one I have in a Word document to use for the wedding planning process. And then some things we did to decrease stress, obviously financially, was a lot of people spend money on like invites and our like say the dates and including like the night before inside. So we did a lot of virtual things. Like we did a virtual save the date, collected everyone's emails, put it into the Knot, you know, for our RSVP list. And then we got our invitations on Black Friday, so that it was significantly cheaper. So we saved money not doing save the dates. We didn't include our rehearsal dinner info in the invitation, which also saved us money. I created one on Canva. I got a template from, shocker, Etsy. Actually, it was a Canva template. It was free. And I just put our information and we texted it to our like bridal party and family who were coming to the rehearsal dinner. So that saved us a lot of money. So I think there's a lot of ways to decrease stress by honestly just being proactive and being organized and planning just like anything else. I know it's a lot, but that was just kind of the gist of it. So aside from stressful like wedding planning things, we did get a question how we're dealing with the stress. I think meditation and fitness is my release. Like my workouts have become my form of stress management for sure, and the kind of therapy. I also do therapy once a month, which helps. And then I also, we meditate consistently. And I think that just communicating has helped us decrease stress.
Yeah, I would agree. For sure, the communication, just being on the same page, making sure like expectations are aligned, like you guys are aligned, that's been so helpful for us. And then all the things like Chris said, I have been finding out in this season of life, like just how helpful my fitness and my exercise is for my mental health. And it's just, it's profound. Like it really is. Like switching back to getting it done in the morning versus like waiting till the mid afternoon. Like mental health is in a completely different place. Like I handle stress better. I regulate stress better. Like everything is just better getting that workout in earlier. So yeah, you know, all of those habits are really helping us regulate the stress in this season.
Yeah. And that final question I kind of answered here with just like tips and tricks for wedding planning, fitness, and whatnot. I actually have a training, and this is from someone who's like in my community and like Facebook and, you know, group coaching. So I will say I have a previous training on how to prep for your wedding, how to handle bridal showers, bachelorettes, if you're a guest or the bride. But I'm going to actually do an overhaul of that now that I'm on the other side of like actually being a bride and doing the prep myself versus for other people and from a client perspective. And then I'm also going to include a whole section on like my planning tricks, how I did everything. Now that we're on the other side, I wanted to wait until the wedding was over to do that, obviously, because it's going to be a very in-depth training. So keep an eye out if you're interested in that on Instagram and Facebook group, because I will be putting that in there. But some of the other questions were very, really like kind of not heavy questions, but they were questions that we want to do a whole episode on. So we're going to carry over some of these. If we didn't answer your question, it's because we're going to actually do a whole episode on these topics, because I think that we want to just like have so much information for you guys. And this is already a super long, you know, episode. So we do appreciate you guys listening. We wanted to give you guys extra time and extra, you know, value this week, because obviously us taking 2 weeks off previously and taking wedding honeymoon week off in the coming weeks. So we wanted you guys to be able to have this to listen to. Once again, you have 124 other episodes to catch up on while we are kind of gone on this wedding break. We do appreciate you guys so much for asking these questions. Like, we want to give value you guys actually want to listen to. And these kind of episodes are truly my favorite because they're on all topics like mindset, fitness, nutrition, our personal life. And I really think it gives you guys like a bird's eye view into like how we live this lifestyle and how we coach clients like in a free podcast, which I think is really valuable. So keep asking questions. Like, every time you post these question boxes, like, no question is silly, I promise you. And I just love recording these for you guys. So thank you for listening up until this point. I know it's a long episode, but a lot of you that listen, we do want to make sure you guys are subscribed so you don't miss out on new episodes. We also appreciate it more than you know. Like we said, this is, you know, a project that we do on the side of our businesses. So like leaving a review, sharing a podcast episode, or subscribing really helps us bring even more value. We can get better interviews. We can do, you know, improve our podcast over time. We've been doing this for years, and every year, every episode gets better and better. And that's because of those of you who subscribe, review, and share the episode. So the bigger the podcast gets, the better information and episodes we can deliver to you guys. And we want to deliver the best of the best, obviously. So thank you guys so much for listening. We will actually see you in a couple of weeks. And next time we do a podcast, we will be Mr. and Mrs. Tenor.
Pretty crazy. Peace out, guys.